It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with Tim Versalotti, the director of the Western New England University poll. Tim, voters this fall will have a question to answer in Massachusetts, which is whether they want the auditor, Diana DeSaglio, to be able to audit the state legislature. So what's at stake here?
It's a fascinating political development, isn't it? So Diana DeSaglio won election as state auditor. That's one of the statewide elected offices in 2022. She previously had served in the state house and state senate. And one of her central campaign issues was transparency and accountability in a major branch of government that doesn't currently fall into the auditor's remit, and that's the state legislature. Once in office, Diana DeSaglio made the argument that indeed the legislature did fall within her remit in terms of checking on spending and analyzing budgets. But she ran into a tremendous amount of pushback by the House Speaker Ron Mariano and the Senate President Karen Spoka. And they're at loggerheads now. And so the auditor is in part bankrolling a ballot question to give the auditor the authority to audit the state legislature. As we know, getting a question on the ballot is time and money intensive. You have to gather a significant number of signatures. You have to hit some pretty tight deadlines. You have to craft the question wording so that it receives approval from the state attorney general, who, by the way, Andrea Campbell had earlier said she did not see a legal basis currently for the auditor to have the power to audit the state legislature. Having said that, I observe the polling on this is very interesting. There have been a couple of polls since the auditor first floated this idea in the fall. The most recent one, done for Commonwealth Beacon in late March by the Mass Inc. polling organization, found 55% of adults would support a ballot question giving the auditor this power. Only 12% were opposed, and this is sometimes the undecideds are the most interesting part of a poll. 35%, more than one in three responding to the survey, said they were undecided or unsure. So that tells us a couple of things. That 55% who think it's a good idea, that might be pretty mushy. That might be a weakly held view. Those could be persuadable folks. And what this does, should this become a ballot question, it sets up a campaign where you would have presumably the leaders of the legislature trying to convince voters that it's a bad idea to have greater transparency in the legislature. That doesn't sound like a pretty politically tenable position. on another level, the argument is understandable in this way: passing bills, making legislation, the analogy of the sausage making, it's not neat and tidy, it's not clean. And media reports say that the auditor doesn't just want to look at balance sheets, she wants to look at how this work is conducted, much of it done behind closed doors.
Right, committee votes, not just the ultimate floor votes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and even how committee assignments are made. So it really puts the leaders of the state house and state senate in a politically difficult position. It will be fascinating to watch how this plays out. And public opinion on ballot questions, especially issues that people haven't spent a lot of time thinking about, can be incredibly volatile. So even though it's a popular idea now, depending on the discourse, the advertising, the direct mail, we could see some big swings between now and November. It'll be an interesting issue to watch.
Well, let's go to another place now. We know that Democrats who are hoping to hold the U.S. Senate have to basically pull a royal flush here. But I take it that Senator Warren's reelection is not one that's in question.
Yeah, she would definitely not be put in the category of toss-up, that's for sure. So Elizabeth Warren is finishing up her second term. Her last election in 2018, she defeated the former state rep Jeff Diehl 61-36%. It would be extremely unlikely that she would be in a tight race this year. We have seen two potential opponents emerge. John Deaton is an attorney who has recently moved to Massachusetts from Rhode Island, and he is running based on a campaign, a narrative, a personal story of coming from very humble circumstances, styling himself as a fighter for the working and middle classes, which is Elizabeth Warren's life story as well. We also have the president of the Quincy City Council, Ian Kane, openly gay, Black. He has just recently filed paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to run for the Republican nomination as well. Neither has filed a campaign finance report yet. They're both registered with the FEC. The first quarter reports that run through March 31st, they're due April 15th. And we'll get some insight if they've done any early fundraising. Ian Kane just registered his committee April 1st, so he probably won't have a report, but it'll be interesting to see if John Deaton has gotten any money in the bank. Elizabeth Warren, at the close of 2023, had $3.9 million in her campaign treasury, and she is a prodigious fundraiser. In her last election in 2018, she raised $35 million. This is a steep hill for each of these potential Republican opponents to climb.
Let's end our conversation by talking about the state of the Massachusetts GOP. I suppose if you were being optimistic, you could say there's nowhere to go but up, right?
And I would add that there are, based on the media reports that I've seen, some green shoots, some signs of a bit of a revival in the Massachusetts Republican Party. In recent years, they haven't won a statewide race since Charlie Baker won his second term as governor in 2018. Their numbers in the legislature dwindled. Their chair, Jim Lyons, was a very staunch supporter of Donald Trump, and he had taken the Massachusetts Republican Party pretty far to the right. What we saw when the state chair was, the position was put up for election last year, Amy Carnevale won the chair, arguing that the Massachusetts Republican Party really needs to broaden its appeal if it's to stage a comeback. And since then, she's managed to raise money, pay off some debts for the party. The party's won a couple of special legislative elections in central Massachusetts, where it often has some of its political strength, along with the North and South Shores. So a bit of a comeback. Both parties elected state committee members in the Massachusetts primary in early March, and there was a slate of candidates, a sort of pro-Trump slate that, had they all run the table, might have led to Amy Carnevale's removal as state chair. Her candidates held their own, and her position now seems somewhat secure in terms of, again, trying to lead the party out of the state's wilderness. What's hard to factor in is that at the national level, former President Trump has now taken over the leadership of the RNC. His daughter-in-law, Laura, is a co-chair or deputy chair of the national committee. And if that influence will then filter down to the state level, we could see Amy Carnevale's efforts running into some difficulty there. So again, this is one of these running Massachusetts politics stories that we want to keep an eye on.
And we will the next time it's time for Tim Versalotti to join us on the Congressional Corner. He's director of the Western New England University poll and professor of political science. Tim, we're always so grateful for all of the time you spend with us, and thank you for your insights.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Ian.